At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The good liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. All right, welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today on the podcast, we're going to be discussing our time at the Madison Square Garden Trump rally right here in New York City, in our backyard. Hard to believe it. It was a very newsworthy rally.
Truly was hard to believe.
Hard to believe? Or
hard to believe,
incredibly
hard to
believable.
See, kind of strange, surreal.
It was strange. Yes, surreal. And we are less than a week till the 2024 presidential election on my birthday of all days, November 5th.
And I personally, I want to say, because I know you can't, because it's your birthday, you can't make a big deal out of it.
I just want
everyone out there to know that there are two big things happening on November 5th, the election and Jason's birthday.
23rd birthday.
I just don't
birthday.
Want that to get glossed over.
It's a big, big deal. But before we dive into all this, we want to remind you, you can support us on Hero Hero for just $5 a month. The link is in the description here. HeroHero.co/TheGoodLiars helps us go to all the terrible places, including our backyard of New York City. Before we dive into this, DeBrom, I want to talk about Monday night. We were at an event for the ACLU in New York City. It was honoring our friend Busy Phillips, and we performed there. And it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of great Broadway performers there, people I'd seen on stage on Broadway, got to see them live and talk to them backstage. Lots of fun. I'm a big Broadway guy, as you know. But I want to talk about, we did 10 minutes of like material on stage, and it was great. We had a great time. But the host of the evening was Katie Couric, famous news icon. I think we can say news icon.
Right.
And we were waiting backstage, and she has a teleprompter, and she's introducing us. And the introduction is like a bio that we had, I think, in like some of our pitches or on our website or something. And it was so long. And she talks about our whole history, and she's reading it obviously for the first time.
We both looked at each other when she said a phrase that I think we knew that at some point years ago we had written.
Somewhere,
They gave an outrageously blunt view to the 1% or something about Occupy Wall Street so long ago. But there was something about that phrase where I think we were both like, oh, this is it.
And then she went in to describe like our two movies, Undecided. She gave like the plot of Undecided and the plot of The Supporters. Two podcasters named Derek and Dale.
Derek and, just, like, and Dale hitting the road thing. With their dreams of becoming Fox News hosts. It was like the full 4-paragraph thing that we should have edited down wherever it exists. We're not sure. That was amazing.
So,
I'm so glad you brought that up.
A very surreal moment. And then got to get on stage and got to say,
but
and
she
it made
also,
sense, keep it going for Katie Couric, everybody. Yeah, keep it going for Katie Couric. Surreal
moment. But she did Katie Couric a couple of times. Like during that was like,
we
and
can
I'm
call
not
her Katie, by
ask.
The way. we can call her Katie. She's our friend
We can
now.
Call her Katie. Friends Katie. Now. We played her off stage, and she introduced us. You're right. We are close friends.
We're close friends.
She, a couple times reading that bio, was like, and I'm not even going to ask what that means or something. Like, it was like, it didn't make sense as an intro to us. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was possibly the funniest part of the night for us.
Yes, for us here. At least. Not for the audience. The audience was, right. Let's dive into this. Before we get into our experience outside Madison Square Garden, we want to talk about something we have been seeing a lot It's been talked about by a lot of people. And also, we saw this outside Madison Square Garden. People were giving away free shirts for these betting websites that you can bet on.
Klarna or some
Yeah, the 2024 like election, which is just a bizarre thing that exists in our society now. But, DeVrom, you have more experience with betting than I do. Just you have friends that bet. You just know more about it than I do.
Very limited amount more. But, yeah, so basically looking into it just a little bit, just scratching the surface here, you know, people are talking about the betting markets because they are saying, well, maybe these are more accurate predictors than actual polls are. And apparently, like, the jury's still out on that, which I find kind of shocking. We really don't know. It might be the most accurate predictor. Proponents believe that having real money on the line and a large crowd of investors encourages a more accurate election forecast than polling data can provide. So that's what people are saying who are behind these things and are saying this is the most accurate place you can go to see who's going to win the election. But the thing is that when you get into the worlds of like online betting, sports betting, and like cryptocurrency and all that stuff, you can have a few people bet a large, untraceable amount and dictate the whole thing. Like, it doesn't
matter. Are those people? Is it young women or is it old women that are doing that? Who are the people that are betting?
I think it's old women. Old women are getting into their crypto wallets and swaying the market. You know, I think what you might be getting at is that probably a lot of the people who are doing this stuff, who are motivated to get online and plug in their little crypto wallets and bet, are going to be the Elon types, the Trump types, the young men who are feeling enthusiastic about Trump's chances of winning. So that could be swaying the whole thing, and I don't think anybody really knows, but it is interesting, like you said, in the society that we have built today. This is a real thing that is possibly as accurate as all the polling data. And Trump is out to a big lead in the betting markets.
And I want to set up a little story here, DeVrom, because we're coming up on the election, November 5th. It's my birthday. I think I might have mentioned that before.
Right.
We're coming up on the election 8 years ago. 8 years ago, the election, I believe it was November 8th, if I'm not mistaken, November 8th, we were at Trump Tower on election night. We had a little prank planned for it. Of course, the way this prank would have worked was if Donald Trump would have lost the election.
Correct.
So we went to Trump Tower and we were in the Trump bar and we had MAGA hats and we were talking with people there. Somebody who had recognized us from our movie Undecided and was like, instead of
that
being
was
like,
a bizarre moment. I went to the bathroom and I came back and you were talking excitedly with the gentleman about Undecided, the movie we had just filmed, where I would say we were kind of equal opportunity. We had pranked people on both sides of the aisle, but definitely some of the bigger pranks were
Republicans
were at Trump's expense.
And Trump, yes. So we were talking.
How did you get out of that?
Well, he came up and he was like, Undecided, blah blah blah. And then he's talking to us and he talks through all the pranks we did on Trump. And then he ends it by saying, I'm thinking like, oh man, this guy's going to say we're here to do a prank. We're in trouble. And he ends it by saying, I can't believe you guys are Trump supporters. That's great. And then you come back from the bathroom and I'm like, this is so-and-so. He saw the movie. He knows we're Trump supporters. I like just supporters. Like the whole thing out loud. So. But that was, it turned out to be a very sad night. Yes.
The other thing that happened, and we're talking about this because we're on the heels of talking about the betting markets, is that, so we're in Trump Tower. I think we were each sipping on a beer. We were like, all right, let's just blend in.
A little tipsy.
I went to the bathroom. I don't think it was the same trip. We were there for a few hours.
We were there for, a little too long.
And so I'm leaving the bathroom and I get a text from a friend of mine, and I want to say, just guessing, this is at 7:30 or 8 o'clock at this point or something. That
maybe,
says
maybe a little later.
The betting markets have totally flipped. Some of them have even stopped taking bets because they are so certain that Trump will win. So not only that the odds had changed, but that it was so certain that they were unwilling to take more bets. So I come back from the bathroom.
It's making me sad. You're laughing. I'm sad thinking about
just,
this.
You know, people laugh for a variety of different reasons.
That's
sometimes
true.
It's
you're right.
To process pain.
Yes.
So I get back from the bathroom, and I've got, like, I think you've described it sometimes when we talk in the about this, when we've talked
like
about
you
it
saw
before,
a ghost. Like you saw a ghost.
Like I saw a ghost, just like, this couldn't be. This really couldn't be. And I kind of whisper to you.
I just remember you saying, like, this is it. They're no longer taking bets because Trump is a lock to win. And we look at each other, both wearing MAGA hats, in Trump Tower, surrounded by Trump supporters. The election results are still coming in. People don't know what's happening with Pennsylvania. It still looks very close. And we just look at each other and say, the joke's on us at this point.
Yeah.
If we stay here.
So we we watched, because we couldn't quite believe that that was true, but we watched the slow, agonizing turn on Fox News as they started to get more enthusiastic. And yes, at some point we had to just kind of leave.
Just
knowing that it was going to be a party there instead of whatever we had thought it might be. So in that instance, I don't know what we're supposed to learn from that, because the betting markets had Hillary winning, I think, 4-1 or 5-1 odds, like going into election day. It was the live betting that changed things as numbers were coming in. So that would be an instance. I think the betting markets had it very wrong before election day.
Yeah, yeah.
So we might be in that type of scenario again.
Can we just stop talking about this horribly depressing night and move on to another horribly depressing night?
Upcoming.
Well, I was gonna segue to Madison Square Garden here.
Got it.
A lot has been made of this rally. I'm sure everyone has seen the clips now online of not just the comedians saying some offensive jokes there, which to me, a comedian saying an offensive joke is not as offensive as a politician saying an offensive joke, not excusing any of the humor or anything like that. But I'm it was not just that guy whose jokes failed miserably and were offensive. It was everyone that night. It was like a parade of terrible at Madison Square Garden. So we traveled there meaning we got on the train and just one train got up there to Madison Square Garden. It's nice. Easiest trip. And this is in our backyards. Like, before we talk about some of the people we talked to there, DeVram, what were your feelings going into it? You got there a couple minutes before I did. What were your feelings when you got off the train? And what did you see when you got there?
Yeah, my feelings were like just a little bit dreamlike almost. was the feeling.
Nightmare?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, a lot of these people we talked to, they're in a good mood. Like, it's not like I got off the train and I was frightened. Like, I didn't think, like, something bad was going to happen to me. But it was just seeing, you know, the same truck or the same type of truck we would see cruising around a Trump rally parking lot in Georgia with 40 flags, you know, waving off the back, and people, like, hooting and hollering out of the windows was driving down 34th Street. And it was just kind of a wild thing to kind of see those two worlds come together. These are streets that we know that, like, you know, performing, you know, comedy or rehearsing comedy or doing auditions. This is in, like, the part of town you would do a lot of that. And I've done a lot of that there. So I know these streets and they're just familiar to me. So seeing them fully taken over was just an odd thing to see. What about you? You got there about 10 minutes later. What was your feeling coming off the train?
I mean, none of it was surprising to me. I mean, it was Trump was having it there. It's obviously he's just doing that for this media play. And we'll talk about this in a second, but like, it's not like I was like, oh, New York is red. I know I made a bold prediction before. But the we talked to the people, and you think you posed this in a very good way. We can watch this clip now about where these people were actually coming in from. Where were they coming in from, DeVram?
Well, let's find out.
Okay. We are here at Madison Square Garden for a Trump rally. Did you guys come in from Staten Island, Long Island, or New Jersey?
Long Island.
New Jersey.
Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island.
New Jersey.
Long Island.
All right. So there you have it. That's where people came in from.
Not incredibly surprising. I mean, obviously, posing the question is a joke, but if we asked that, you know, 10 or 12 times, almost everybody came from one of those three places, I would say, right?
Well, I guess we could say I talked to somebody who was from Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Yes.
You talked to somebody from the Bronx.
You could talk about the exceptions for sure.
There were the exceptions to the rule, but most people, because that was, I think for a while, both of us were just like, this is a funny thing to do. I don't know who it's funny for necessarily, but yeah. It's funny for us. And you made the point yesterday, we were on a podcast yesterday, and you were talking about how people online are like, they're being bussed in. They're being bussed in. That is just not true. Everyone
right.
who's coming
we
there,
posted
like the
that
campaign's
video
not bringing.
The comments were like, they're paying them to come in. It's like, why? What? What? No. They just came in. It's just funny that it's not, they're not like Manhattanites who work a few blocks away who are like, oh, I love Donald Trump. That was the point we were making, was that it's not that Manhattan has turned red.
Right.
People shouldn't read that into it. But for some reason, people ran with that people are being bussed in. I don't know why you would bother saying that. Like, the enthusiasm is real. Just accept that.
I don't get it. Vote. I don't get the whole deal with it. Like, I understand the, like, he's boring thing. Obviously, we both understand right. that. But the making up the stories that they're bussing people in, or people are being paid to be there, that's just false. It's not true. That people love Donald Trump that are going to these things. They are very enthusiastic. Yeah. They're traveling long distances to come sometimes. So just throw that out of your mind. And why would that like burst your bubble on anything? And don't you want to know the truth too? I don't know who
right.
I'm talking
well,
to right now, but don't you want
to
know the
just
truth?
Just trying to figure out the motivation to like say that, believe it over and over again. Like, the crowds show up. They do. A lot of people will vote for Donald Trump in this upcoming election. They're the people going to the rallies. That's just the case. Just like, you know, when Kamala's having big rallies and people are saying, oh, the crowd's not that big, and it's annoying because there are pictures of it and it's obvious that
right.
there are some big crowds.
It's AI. It's AI. Those are all AI. Yeah.
Right. Showing
yeah.
reflections from an airplane. Like, oh, she's waving to an empty. I mean, it's been
so
bizarre.
Stupid.
But that's one of them that we can dispel. We have been to these rallies and people show up to them and nobody's paying them to do that. So
yes.
there you go.
Yes. There was a woman there, and I was looking through this footage yesterday. There was a woman there who was singing a song that has been in my head now for the last 24 hours, and I cannot get it out of my
We've
head.
We've heard a few good songs on the road.
Yes.
I can remember a couple. This
What's
one.
The Joe Biden one? What's the Joe Biden one?
G-
How does it go?
G-
Oh, LGB. Everywhere that I go, LGB.
Something.
Where it is,
I don't know.
Anyway,
that's one of
too.
Them that I was thinking of. And then, of course, pre January 6th, January 5th, Roger Stone's song.
Roger Stone did nothing wrong
was good.
Leave
and
Roger
then
Stone alone.
We have this song.
Trump, a little higher. Trump, until you get tired. Scream it! Woo! Trump 2024. Where am I going to be on? keep saying
He's
that.
No racist.
Trump, a little higher.
Trump, da, 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 until da, da. You get tired. Trump. And she sang
I'm
it
tired.
Some more. But
yes.
the guy that made an appearance in the video seemed to feel that he needed to say that Trump was not racist.
Which is very ironic given all of the racism that came out during
the
rally a mere
right.
minutes after that.
If you
video.
Feel the need to run toward the camera and say that Donald Trump is not racist, it says a little bit more about Donald Trump possibly being racist than not, I would say.
Right.
It's just
right.
The implication comes across. And then, of course, you know, we touched on it, but there were probably like five or six pretty shocking things said. And you know, Hulk Hogan, we're not the only ones to draw. What's that?
Hulk Hogan too, who is wearing a Sting shirt right now, who was an opponent of Hulk Hogan, of course, at Starrcade 1997. Not a great match. Sting won the title, but whatever. Well, that's a story for another day.
That's a story for another day.
Hulk Hogan. It's not in the bonus episode. If that's a thing that would make you not want to support us on Hero Hero, I'm not going to be talking about that. Don't worry. Please still support us. The Hulk Hogan came out and he tried to rip his shirt off and he couldn't do it. I think he was trying. No. He ended up ripping both of them at the same time and he was messing up and it was like old man Hulk like being like, oh no, I'm messing up my only thing I do great anymore. And
that's pretty, that's a little sad.
It's a little, yeah, it's a little sad. So yeah, he was basically like redoing his RNC bullshit. And then he was like looking out at the audience. It was like, I don't see any Nazis here, brother. And I just want to say about Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan is recorded saying the N-word. Okay, that is on record. He said the N-word, and it was, and he's like talking about how everyone isn't racist and up there while everyone's calling Trump racist.
There,
it's just
he's
like,
he's the one pushed in front of everyone to say that there's no racism.
It's like, Hulk, you got this.
There might be a better messenger.
Yes, yes.
Than Hulk Hogan. Is that your point there?
That's my point. That's my point. And he's also a union buster, and he's just an egomaniac.
I know. I watched the McMahon documentary, and you had said Hulk Hogan was a union buster, and it's not even disputed. He just says the wrestlers really wanted more rights and wanted to work fewer days and have better lives, basically. And he's like, so, of course, I told Vince about that.
Are you just going to talk about wrestling this whole time? Like, you always find a way to bring it up. It's so annoying.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me, everyone. Something I do nearly every damn episode.
Not only that, we had people saying things that we've heard on the road, but never, I guess, spoken at a Trump rally, calling Harris the Antichrist, good and evil, good versus evil. Tucker Carlson talking about the great replacement theory. Like, it's...
Well, what do you think about this good versus evil stuff? It sounds wild coming out of someone's mouth sometimes because you know it's coming out of from a pretty extreme place. But it also is Democrats messaging a little bit too, right? It's just
don't
not
make me look in the
words.
Mirror right now.
What's that? Yeah, we gotta look in the mirror a little bit. You know, it's like it's not said in the same kind of religious undertones, but. I used to think like, oh, the Republicans are so, they're so black and white in the view of the world, and they try and put that on people in order to kind of get votes. It's good versus evil. I think Donald Trump has kind of backed Democrats into a corner in that, you know, trying to overturn an election, still not conceding it, saying he's going to go after his political opponents. So now when they say like, oh, this is the election of a lifetime, everything is on the line, they really mean it, and both sides are kind of saying it's good versus evil in this go round.
You're both sides in us right now, huh? That's what you're doing. You're giving us old both sides in.
Just because I said the words both sides, you're gonna classify.
Well, you're
it
saying
that way.
Both sides are doing it. You're saying both sides are doing it. I wouldn't say it's good versus evil. I would say I do think some of the rhetoric. And we'll talk about
to be
John
clear.
Kelly
I wouldn't say that either. I'm critiquing those who would.
Okay.
But you feel free to elaborate.
No, I would say like I think that the rhetoric of it's the democracy is on the line. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think that there's truth to it. I mean, we've already seen that Donald Trump will not concede an election, and I think that's true. I mean, I think that, and then if now let's just. Great segue to John Kelly and his interview with the New York Times. You're saying on record that he believes Donald Trump is a fascist. And we talked to some of the Trump supporters about that. I think that if you look at definitions of things, I don't think that's like right. Whether it helps in an election, I don't know. But like if you're looking at definitions and you're looking about who's saying this, it's unprecedented in the history of the United States that this would ever happen. That a chief of staff from your party would say that the leader of your party is a fascist. Like that, it's, right. it's unprecedented.
This is what people are saying, the coworker of Donald Trump's who would have spent the most time with him. Like this would be the person that was by his side more hours than anyone else throughout his time as president. It's hard not to take it seriously. I remember when he first came into office, the demonizing of the media. You know, it seemed natural coming from him, but then you take a step back and you're like, oh, this is the playbook. If nobody can trust the media, the only person that you can really trust from Donald Trump's point of view is Donald Trump. Then you can start to get away with more and more and more. And fast forward 8 years, we're going into an election where the front runner has not conceded the previous election. Unprecedented times. But we can go on about that forever.
But let's talk briefly, because both of us, we talked to some people at the rally about John Kelly. Because this is a huge deal. And I know it's like now this rally's happened and it's no longer a big deal because another crazy thing happened, as we say always. We talked to people at the rally about John Kelly, and everyone basically said he got fired. It's just sour grapes. This guy's mad. Of course he's going to say that. There is no of course in this. Like, there's no of course I'm going to call somebody a fascist. Like, that just doesn't happen. It's never happened before. Like, so I have found myself at some of these rallies, and maybe you've seen this, and I've seen people comment about this, where it's like, Jason just doesn't have time for stuff anymore. Like, I just, like, have, like, I don't, it's not a short fuse, but it's just, like, it's not a discussion at a certain point with some of this stuff.
Right. I think that's the, like, deja vu kind of feeling at some of these things. You know, you've talked to some people, and in particular, I think we're going to show a clip of some conspiracy theories that are, like, should be shocking. They really should be. Then when you hear it for the second or third or fourth time, it's just like, what are we even doing here? And it's still worth recording. It's not that the work we're doing doesn't feel like it has purpose. It's just like there's less time to be like, wait, what do you mean about the government controlling the weather? Like, no, we have heard this before, and it's not making any more sense the third time through.
Well, that's as good a setup as any. Let's play this clip.
What do you think happened with the hurricanes that happened?
Hurricanes? I think that they want the land. You know, I think that the government wants the land, and this is what they did.
But what do you mean, what they did?
They made a fake tornado.
Right.
Yeah, they planted, whatever they do, they pull with this.
Manipulated the weather.
The weather, exactly.
But you think the government manipulated the weather?
No, I think the government is not our friend, sir. No. The government is not our friend.
Do you think the government created the hurricane to hurt the United States?
Absolutely. Not to hurt the United States. They want the land. They want the land for the batteries, uranium stuff, whatever it is.
Lithium.
That's
the only reason I know that is because another lady at a Trump rally told me.
Oh, they know. You don't know? You don't watch the news?
He knows.
I do watch the news. Yeah. Do you watch the news?
No, not all of it.
Oh, that took a turn. And it's interesting.
But I guess
that's
the part we're talking about when you say lithium. I only know that because another person said it. It's like these things should be so shocking, yet they are like mainstream.
Like, I can finish your conspiracy theory for you right now.
Right.
You're telling me
your thing that
right
you
now.
Think is this big secret. Because it's so out there, everyone's saying it, and that is the wild part.
Yes, yes, yes. And I guess she is not watching news. She's getting her stuff from YouTube and
not
whatever.
Not all of it.
Who
could
not
watch
this.
All the news?
I do like that. So I guess for the record now, there was two people in Reading. Another person in Reading was kind of nodding along with this when that first woman that I talked to. Then we talked to somebody in North Carolina. Now we talked to somebody, I'm assuming from Long Island. I think that's what they said. We've heard this conspiracy theory now in three different accents, very distinct accents, I would say.
True,
so that's an interesting thing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun. You're finding
the weather.
Finding
the weather.
Passion.
The exactly. The beauty.
I'd love to hear it in a fourth
accent
if possible.
Oh, I don't know if I can take it. I don't know what that will do for me.
It's like I always think back to Fulton County Jail. Was that last year we were there? And another woman was like, she was talking about all this QAnon stuff. And then she said the Jim Carrey thing again. I think that maybe in our first episode we talked about this. And she said the conspiracy theory, and I couldn't even be like, I was just like, wow. Yeah, I know this. Yeah. Like, and it's just like, that's not true. That's not true. Please don't say that. We know it's not true. Please don't say it. Please, please, please. So that's where my brain's at right now.
And now she's...
I need something
no
light
no longer
right
believes
now.
In conspiracy theories, and she's...
I feel... maybe we should be talking about wrestling. I can't even talk about wrestling because Hulk Hogan's ruining it. And Kane and The Undertaker. Kane, who, no big surprise, we have a history with Kane, but the Undertaker, no big surprise there. He hangs out with war criminals, but he did endorse Donald Trump on camera. So, DeVram, here we are. You know, we're less than a week away from the election. I obviously am not doing great mentally. Do you have any truth for us, or do you have any anything you want to say here to make me feel better?
To make you feel better? Not necessarily.
Okay, good.
But I do have a moment of truth I kind of jotted down here, and I wanted to say it because of just the timing of everything.
Okay.
You know, the truth is that we're finally nearing the moment of truth. By the time we have the chance to record another podcast, it might be after Election Day. So this is it. After all the drama of the past few years, I mean, it's too much to list, but there's COVID, there's January 6th, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we had the midterms, the red wave that wasn't, the Biden dropping out, all these wild, wild things leading to this, to the moment of truth, to Election Day, to Jason's birthday. And, you know, for all the reporting that we've done, if you want to call it that, I'll call it that. Sure. We don't know what will happen any more than anyone else does. The betting markets don't know. The polls don't know. Nobody knows. So the truth of the matter is we're about to find out the truth.
I love that, DeVram.
Exciting is that.
I love that. Can I do a B moment of truth right now? That's one. Can I do a 1B? I just want to say that people say this all the time, but just go out and vote, please. I don't care what state you're in. Go out and vote. DeVram and I, we've been in these swing states. We have watched the ads. We've seen the billboards. We've felt things from the ground. If we had to bet on it, since we were talking about betting earlier, like Donald Trump, in our mind, would be the favorite right now. Judging by polls and the previous polls airing when he's in a race, go out and vote. Go out and vote, please. We are begging you, or I'm begging you. I don't want to speak for you, DeVram, but do you want to get in on this? Okay. You don't want to be in on this?
I want people to vote.
You're not going to beg?
Regardless of party, as much as I have my own feelings. I do think you have to have people engaged. People have to go out and vote. This is why Donald Trump refusing to accept an election is so weird and damaging to democracy. Go out, vote, have faith that it will be counted, and accept the results. And I think we can all, there's a chance that we can emerge from this in better shape than we are now as a country.
All right. Well, thank you, DeVram, for having my back there and for letting me add that little moment of truth.
Yeah.
If you want to join us, we're going to keep this going on herohero.co/thegoodliars. The link's in the description. We're going to be talking about what we're thinking might happen after the election results either way. We, you know, had a lot of experience on the road after the 2020 election. We thought it was all over, but then ended up being some of the more memorable places we've been were after the election, during that election cycle. So we're gonna talk through that on Hero Hero. DeVram, I'm sorry I've been such a downer. I just want to say that out loud.
It's your birthday coming up. That's not always the happiest of times. That's okay. You know, some people have sad birthday energy.
We've been traveling a lot. We've been traveling a lot, DeVram, and it's just been the two of us together. And I want to say for the record that I love you very much. And
I
love you too. Let I'm it excited. Let it be recorded.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited for this all to be over. I am also very, very nervous about the results of this election, and nothing that's happened in the last month has made me feel any better about the results if it went a different way. So before we go, I'd love if we could just, and I'm begging this from you, Devram, from the bottom of my heart, I'm begging you. You can see, if you're watching the video, I am on my knees begging. I do the entire podcast.
It's weird.
Down there.
But he's
it's
doing
a
it.
Weird position to be in. Yeah. Can you please give me, give the listeners, the people watching, could you just please give us some words of wisdom right now? I need it.
I can.
Thank you.
Go to Starbucks. And when they ask what your name is, tell it to them in reverse. To spell it out for them, but spell it in reverse. Then when they call it out, it'll make you laugh. Try and keep a straight face. Let them call out, you know, whatever your name is backwards. And that'll give you a laugh. And then just enjoy your coffee. You know, you'll have overspent on it a little bit. We know that it's, Starbucks costs a little more than
Thanks,
it should.
Biden.
But just splurge. Yeah. For yourself, tell them your name backwards, and you're just going to have a great time doing it.
You know what, Devram? I feel better. Thank you. Thank you for that so much. I feel like a weight has been lifted. Okay, I'm going to take this feeling right with me into the Hero Hero episode. All right, thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Good Liars Tell the Truth.
Joining who? Marvad and Nasir.
No Sag. We used to spell it backwards in third grade in this crazy class. Already having a good time. All right. Bye.